Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. Welcome to Money and Me. My special guest today is Terence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital. We're going to be taking a closer look at Singapore's second quarter GDP figures, startling that fall of GDP by 13.2% year on year. Also, Temasek has pulled out of a partial offer for Keppel Corp in light of their financial results. What does this mean for the O&M sector? Meanwhile, Sembcorp Marine and Sembcorp Industries shareholders have green-lighted a demerger. What will the implications of this be on their respective companies? We'll take a look at Hong Kong's Apple Daily and Next Digital, both owned by Jimmy Lai, who's been charged under Hong Kong's new national security law. Implications for Hong Kong as a financial hub? All those questions and more discussed this morning. First up, good morning, Terence.
Hey, Michelle. Good. How's it going?
Really well. Good to have you with us. So let's take a look at Singapore's Q2 GDP figures. We've revised the economic growth projection for Singapore from a range of -5% to -7%. Gross domestic product for the April to June quarter shrank 13.2% on the year. So Singapore suffered its worst contraction on record in this second quarter, shrinking by more than 13%. Essentially, the first half of the year has wiped out all of Singapore's economic gains since 2016. What do you think this means in terms of how long it'll take for Singapore to recoup lost ground?
Well, that's right, Michelle. The numbers look really, really scary, right? Mm. But it was not unexpected. I mean, all of us were like holed up at home in the second quarter. That was the eye of the storm where it was a CB period, and really the entire economy was at a standstill. The only guys that were doing well, I guess, was the supermarket guys. We have spoken about it extensively over the last few months, right?
True.
And I remember in March when I came on this program, I was saying that a recession is a given. At that point in time, the government numbers were still in positive territory, which I was wondering why.
But they have
over the last few months revised the numbers down, and now it looks a lot more realistic. MTI has narrowed its forecast to the lower end of -7% to -5%. But if you look at the current quarter as it is, in July and August, the numbers or the COVID-19 cases globally, not in Singapore, but globally, that has exploded. And I believe that, you know, the recovery that we are hoping, the V-shaped recovery that some people are hoping, not me, that would have been hampered due to the slower reopening. There's going to be a lot more border controls. We're hoping that people can start to fly in, fly out, right? But that's not going to be the case, and it's going to be extended. And speaking of scary, we look at the aviation numbers from the GDP. That's down 99%.
Wow.
That's a big decline. Not unexpected, but it just shows that, you know, it's going to be bad. Some people are hoping, like I said, it's going to come back with a vengeance, but unlikely to be this year. So if you are saying that how long it will take to catch up to, you know, the 20 last year's high, it's probably going to be 2 to 3 years down the road.
Yeah, those are stark figures that you've painted, especially that number for aviation. As an investor, though, are you looking at any potential upside to this? So it looks like construction was the worst affected sector. Do you expect this to stay the same moving ahead, or do you see some bright spots ahead?
Actually, construction was down only 60% compared to aviation, which is down 99%. So I think it is a distant number two when it comes to bad sectors. But again, this has been unprecedented in the second quarter. All of them were shut down. I was even surprised that it was down only 60%, because I would have thought that most of the foreign workers would be in their quarters and there will be mass testing and all. They're not working. So minus 60%, while bad, it's not as bad as I thought it would be. But this is not all gloom. If you look at the numbers, our key numbers, there are a few silver linings. One of them, obviously, will be IT information services.
Mm-hmm.
Being at home, you know, we are so much more engaged. There's going to be cloud services. And And even myself, which I thought was an IT dummy, I became a little bit more proficient when it came to that, right? I think that there is a healthy enterprise demand for IT solutions. In fact, MTI themselves, MTI is expecting strong demand for digital payment processing services and firms' continued demand for digital solutions. Manufacturing is another one that I think have done relatively well. That's thanks to pharmaceuticals and semiconductors. And surprise, surprise, finance and insurance sector, that's where I am, right? That has seen a steady growth. But nothing to do with the fund management industry where I really am, but more to do with the insurance and auxiliary services like credit card network players.
Really interesting. So I have to pick up on this because you mentioned it. You say some are expecting a V-shaped recovery. What are you expecting? Something that looks more like a square root?
Yeah, I've seen the BT. They've been running that square root thingy. But I feel it's going to be a protracted U. So we hit down very, very steeply. It's down. Oh, yeah. And we're going to hit a trawling bottom. How long is it going to last? I'm not too sure. I thought that it's going to be, beginning of next year, we're going to see some green shoots. That's still a possibility. And I feel that what is important is probably going to be, the vaccine. Of course, once the vaccine happens or there's hope of a real vaccine coming out, people are more willing to go out there.
Absolutely. What do you think of that vaccine that Russia has been triumphing, that Putin says he's tested on his daughter?
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook. I saw Putin's Facebook. I don't know. Mm. I'm not too sure whether a vaccine can come up so quickly. But this COVID-19 phenomena has taught me, to expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
So I cannot write anything off right now.
So you're
now
not dismissing it?
No, I'm not.
Just yet. All right, let's talk about Keppel and Temasek. Investment company Temasek saying it's going to pull out of its $4.1 billion partial offer for Keppel Corporation in light of the conglomerate's poor financial showing. Most of the analysts we were talking to didn't expect it to fall through. They just thought there'd be a change in terms of, what was offered. Do you have a sense of what this pullout means for, first up, Keppel share price?
Well, Keppel share price, obviously, that would have been, there will be a knee-jerk reaction. And I was asked that over the long weekend. Some of the news journalists have been asking me about it. And immediately, I think it's very intuitive that there will be a knee-jerk reaction. And that happened. It fell as much as 13%. And people are saying, oh, it's really unexpected that they were to come out just, on the eve of the voting for Sembcorp Industries and Sembcorp Marine.
Right.
But again, I think it may not be altogether that unexpected. I mean, if you put place things in perspective, if it didn't happen, the day before, and because Temasek had the deadline of 31st August, if they were to like drag all the way to 31st August, and still make the same decision, some of the investors for Sembcorp and Sembcorp Marine will say, hey, Akung never tell me. I didn't make an informed choice back then. So they decided, I think, it's by design that they have indicated that they're going to walk away from Keppel bid on the eve of the Sembcorp Marine and Sembcorp Industries voting. What's it going to mean for the consolidation? I have been an investment professional for almost, for over 20 years.
Wow.
And this talks about consolidation is almost as old as that.
Really? In the O&M industry?
Yes,
wow.
Yes. Okay. And if you recall, Temasek, there was actually a bid to privatize Sembcorp Marine back in the early noughties, I think in 2002 or 2003. Mm. I feel very much that the consolidation is still going to happen. We don't need two global champions in oil rigs. When the oil market was strong, orders were flowing to a tune of billions of dollars. It really made sense for Keppel and Sembcorp Marine to compete for jobs, but not now and not in the foreseeable future. So I feel that the consolidation will still happen. It will happen sooner than later, and I believe that I don't have to wait another 20 years before it actually becomes a reality.
Okay, we're going to have you on tape with that prescient.
I'll be a granddad by then.
Have you on tape there. So shareholders for Sem Marine and Sembcorp Industries, of course, have given overwhelmingly their blessing to a demerger, clearing away for a $2 billion recap of Sem Marine. It'll allow Sembcorp to focus more on its energy and urban development business. We saw shares of Sembcorp Industries and Sem Marine suspended yesterday in the morning. They resumed trade in the afternoon. Turnover in their shares were heavy, Terence, but they both finished lower. What do you think of their moving forward, the shares?
Well, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. Sembcorp Industries will be streamlined. They would have taken out the key unit that have been dragging them down. Now investors can make a better choice if they want to move in that direction, whether they want to look into the power, urban, industrialization arena, and if they do, and Sembcorp Industries will really figure out to be one of the better investments out there, whether in Singapore, among local investors, or regional and international investors. Sembcorp Marine will also have big backer in Temasek. It'll be a lot cleaner, like I said. And I think that will still be a key step towards actually a consolidation within the offshore marine sector. And one good thing that I think came out of this Temasek cancelling the capital deal is they have a lot more cash right now in their coffers. Remember that the deal that was made with Keppel was in October 2019. Almost a year ago, and that was before COVID. But when COVID-19 struck, Temasek realized that within its portfolio there are a lot of fires to fight, particularly Sembcorp Marine and also SIA. So I think that it's better to concentrate their bullets where it matters most. Keppel, the second quarter numbers may look ugly, but that is because there was an exceptional item out there, and if you to strip off that impairment, Keppel still made over $200 million in profits. That's not too shabby, right? So I think Keppel is definitely an interesting company to look at.
He's Terence Wong, my guest this morning, CEO of Azure Capital. Let's switch gears, move over to Hong Kong and talk about the arrest of Jimmy Lai by police in Hong Kong. Lai is founder of the tabloid Apple Daily. It's very popular. He's been arrested on charges of collusion with a foreign country. It's a vaguely defined crime under the anti-sedition law adopted by Beijing. The latest and clearest signal that China intends to make full use of the sweeping new legislation to stifle free expression. First up, what do you think the arrest means for Apple Daily? I mean, we saw Apple Daily shares rising 344% in afternoon trade following Lai's arrest. Clearly, investors putting their money in a show of support for Lai into Apple Daily. What do you think?
Well, I think that is absolutely amazing, right? Next Digital, the investors really, really piled on it.
1,100% up. Gosh.
I know. That sounds crazy. And I think... I totally believe that there's a lot of supporters out there, a lot of speculators out there, and they really wanted to support Jimmy Lai, who's known for his pro-democracy stance. Not only that, they were out there rushing to buy Apple Daily. I mean, typically the circulation is 70,000, but on Tuesday, they actually upped it all the way to 550,000 copies. So there's been a massive revenge buying when it comes to Apple Daily. So and they wanted to, I think, make a point to Beijing. And that, I think, is another display of a fight for democracy for the Hong Kong.
You know, Bloomberg reporting that there may not be that flight of capital from Hong Kong as was anticipated with this law, the national security law, and that many wealthy investors are staying put. What do you think?
Well, I cannot say for sure, but I do sense that, Singapore has been... not only for Hong Kong, but it's really a magnet for an attraction for many rich investors. And they like the political stability in the country, and they like how it is being run. But I think anecdotally, I do sense that there are interests for their interest amongst Chinese and Hong Kong investors looking at property and other investment products in Singapore. And that's what I hear on the ground.
Interesting. He is Terrence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital, our special guest today in Money and Me. Next Digital shares, by the way, up 19% at $1.30 Hong Kong dollars. Before we let you go, Terrence, what are the stocks you're interested in when it comes to Singapore?
Well, I think in Singapore, you can see that the market has been zombieing. It's gone up a little bit, then it has come back down. The STI seemed to be stuck in this region, and some investors are saying, oh, what should I look at, right? Last time round when we spoke, that was in June, mid-June, and June, I remember we touched on glove makers. That time I was waxing lyrical about it. I say it was very, very exciting industry, very exciting sector, because all the stars are aligned. But right now, after a massive surge in the share prices of a lot of these glove makers, in fact, all the glove makers, I think that it's time to really become a little bit more defensive and wary about the valuations when it comes to the glove makers. So I think the investors don't have to be overly they don't have to be overly ambitious and adventurous when it comes to stock picking right now. I mentioned about Keppel. I think that, you know, beyond the knee jerk, this company is definitely one that you can look at. Another one, if investors are looking for a certain catalyst to stocks, that will be Wilmer. Wilmer has done well despite or in spite of this coronavirus, and they are. I think the catalyst that you can look out for is this Chinese new unit that's listing. There's one final hurdle, and I believe that they should be listed by the end of this year. The Chinese unit has done very, very well. We're talking about net profits of close to 3 billion renminbi, and if you can value that, in China, the valuations are significantly higher than Singapore. If you can value at that at, say, a minimum of 23 times, you know, that should bump up Wilmer's sum of the part valuation.
Interesting. Wilmer International currently trading at $4.71, up 0.42%. In terms of theme, let me ask you this. So we've been speaking to a lot of people on this show, and we've heard the live streaming come up repeatedly. We know Tencent is pushing for a $10 billion live streaming juggernaut, you know, a merger of Huya and Douyu. What do you think of the theme of live streaming? Are you at all interested in it?
Well, live streaming is a theme that will be here to stay, and I think, but again, there are a lot of live streaming companies out there. Investors who have to be very, very cautious. Obviously, you want to bet on the big guy because, like anywhere in the tech industry, you are either number one or you're shown the door, right? So, I guess you want to bet on the big player or the player that will be able to survive and thrive in this particular sector.
Great insights for our investors. Thank you, Terrence, for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Michelle.
Awesome speaking to Terrence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital and Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.